This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
Hello. Hello. My name is Nick Helm and this is...
Nathaniel Metcalf. Hello.
And you are listening to Nick Helm and...
Nathaniel Metcalf's...
Fan club. We're doing it.
Yeah,
it's good. This is a show at FUBAR Radio, and
we're on the radio, Nick.
We're live.
Hello, rubber ducky.
Oh man,
FM dial.
Don't put that up forever.
Okay.
So this show is basically it's a show about popular culture and stuff that we are fans of.
Yeah,
it's about being enthusiastic about things rather than being negative all the time, because it's very easy, but I mean, it's quite a dark time that we're all living in.
Yeah, let's try and be a bit positive about things we like.
Which is a bit of an effort for me sometimes, but sometimes it's all I can do to get out of bed. But considering that I only live around the corner, this is an ideal radio station for me to work at.
Yeah, this is the best one for you. I mean, I'm a bit further away, so... Yeah. But it's probably still the closest that I'm aware of.
Yeah. So, you know, we're both feeling pretty good about...
And every week we're going to have a guest in as well who's going to be telling us about what they're into, what they're a fan of.
Yeah.
We have a guest coming in today.
Yeah, we do.
We have...
Joel Dommett. No. He's gone back to the jungle.
He has.
We've got Jack Barry.
Jack Barry. We were supposed to have Joel Dommett. But he got it mixed up in his diary. But now we've got Jack Barry, who is a guest of equal quality.
Equal quality. Yeah. And also, more importantly, he was...
Able to get here.
He was able to get...
Short notice. Very short notice.
Just lives... Oh, not as close as I do.
No.
But close nevertheless. It's midday. You know, it's difficult... I begin to understand what those early morning DJs must feel like.
They have to get up at midday.
they've got to get up
be a nightmare.
At the crack of 11s.
Yeah. To get in for midday.
So I guess we'll start off with just like chatting to... I mean, this is our first one. So, I mean, what could go wrong?
Well, exactly. Nothing has gone wrong yet except for... We had no guest an hour ago, and now we do.
So,
okay.
So we're feeling pretty good
about
it. What
are you a fan of, Nick? What have you been a fan of this week?
I think that the best way to be... what am I a fan of this week? Well, I just think... I went to see Solo last night.
Me too. Not together.
No, we didn't.
No reason.
Where did you go?
I saw it at the BFI IMAX Cinema.
BFI IMAX cinema. That's one of my favourite cinemas.
I think it's one of mine. It's very lovely tiered. You get a good view of the screen. Wherever
it's
you
got
are.
Very shallow seats, isn't it?
It does.
And it also has those guys that introduce the
I went to see Ready Player One at the BFI IMAX. And when you go to the BFI IMAX, you have a guy comes out at the front and tells you all the house rules about where the toilets are. And someone comes out and goes, "Hi, welcome to the BFI IMAX. It is Britain's largest screen. These doors at the bottom are now closed. If you want to use the toilets, please use them at the back. You may have been given a card." And he said, and at the end he went, "So please settle down and watch..." And he paused and went, "Player One?" And I thought, if he doesn't know the name of the film we're about to watch, then it can't be any good.
And was it?
No, it was off. He didn't even know what we were about to see.
Was Ready Player One?
It was Ready Player One. No, it was bad.
I quite liked it, I have to say. I liked it in the moment that the thing about the beer, not that we're shilling for the BFI IMAX, but the thing about that is if you're going to go and watch a bad film, that's the place to go and see it.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think it does. It adds points.
If you're going to go and see a bad film, it's the only way to see it is by spending 40 quid to go and watch Prometheus. Well,
it probably adds like half a point, doesn't it, to whatever score you would give it. Because it looks like it's a bit of a spectacle.
Well, because even what I found with Ready Player One was because it was so big and there was so much going on in it. There were all these huge battles with loads of pop culture references and like, oh, look, there's Robocop and oh, look, there's Beetlejuice and, you know, there's loads of Easter eggs in there. And because the screen was so big, whenever I was bored with the story, I'd sort of like literally turn my head and look around the screen and sort of like try and look out for things. So that's what makes that... I went to see my screening of Solo last night at the Cineworld in Greenwich.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At the O2, which I tell you what, that's a ball lake to get to.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean, this is it. Well, it depends where you live again, doesn't it? We've done this before. It depends if you live close to it.
Oh, if
it's
you
probably
live near
easy.
Greenwich, my advice is pick your most, you know...
local.
Your convenient cinema yeah. with the one that's nearest to you.
Yeah.
Much like I did with this radio station.
Exactly.
It's just around the corner. There are easier cinemas for me to get to. I didn't
sure.
book the tickets. The person I was going with booked the tickets.
I always think for that reason it is odd that they advertise supermarkets on the telly, because you think you're not going to travel, are you, to go to a Morrison's. You're not going to get a train to go to a Morrison's.
There's a Nisa over the road.
Oh, is it?
Nisa? Nisa.
I've never...
Let's call the whole thing off. That's fan club.
Without having any spoilers, Nick, what did you make of the film Solo, Star Wars story?
So we haven't discussed this
no,
yet, have
not
we?
At all.
Because I texted you last night and I said, oh, I went to see Solo last night. And you texted me back and said, oh, so did I. And then I said, oh, don't tell me what you think. We'll wait until
we're
on the air.
We'll save it up till we're on the radio.
So, so what we'll do, right, is we should probably do that every week. We should probably not hang out at all and then, and then save up all of our weekly experiences and then just you get the gist.
Yeah.
So right, so what we'll do is 3, 2, 1 and then we'll both say we'll give a one word review of what we thought of Solo, a Star Wars story directed by Ron Howard. Solo. Oh, I've just been told Jack is trying to park his car. I probably shouldn't be reading these out because they're just on the screen that our producer Natalie.
Yes.
Our producer Natalie, Nat.
I'm also Nat. It's confusing.
But Nathaniel is also Nat. So you can just imagine
that's
the email chain.
Yeah.
So Jack is trying to park his car. 3, 2, 1 What do we think of Star Wars? Solo, a Star Wars story. 3, 2, 1
Comfortable. Good. I liked it. I thought it was like a comfortable thing.
Gone over your word limit there, Nat.
Oh, sorry. Was that the entire review?
Just a one word review.
Okay, comfortable. It was comfortable. That's my word.
It was good.
I thought it was good.
I really liked it.
Me too. I think I had no problems with it. I had no issues with it. I think it's just that now we're so used to like being a new Star Wars film, it feels less special. And I couldn't believe how I wasn't really excited to see it before it came out.
Do you know what? I think I really liked it. Mm-hmm. For me, it was a 5-star film. If before this film, my favourite Star Wars film was an Ewok adventure, Caravan of Courage. Do you know what I mean? It was sort of like, it was, it felt very much like one of those Saturday morning.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Throwaway. You know, it's fine. They do lots of stuff. If you made a list going into it of everything that you'd want to see in a Han Solo prequel film, because mm-hmm. I didn't really want to see a Han Solo prequel film in the first place, but if you made a list of all the things you wanted to see going into it, they basically tick them all
yeah,
off. You
yeah.
get absolutely everything that they've ever mentioned in the original trilogy in
exactly.
there. And you go, yeah, that's great. And you really, you really couldn't ask for...
No,
it's a
very
low,
safe film.
Low expectations. If you're going with low expectations, you really couldn't ask for anything more.
No.
And then on top of that, there was a bit of a story. But what I liked about it was with very low... I mean, I hated The Last Jedi. I hated The Last Jedi. That kind of... it was sad. Because what I felt about... the prequels was... this is basically what the show's going to be, guys.
For an hour.
Strap in with a guest. And so basically what I thought about, I loved the original trilogy. I got into it quite late when I was about 12.
Oh, yeah.
That was during the Star Wars drought when there was nothing but Bendems in Toys R Us. the Bendems action figures, which were sort of like these wire-framed figures with rubber over them.
An armature.
Was that who...
That's what you call those things, isn't you? An armature.
An armature.
I think so.
Oh, see, you know, if you're not interested... You know,
you're learning.
You're learning.
Learning something.
That can be our... We can make a jingle.
Yeah, if you're not... Okay.
If you're not finding this interesting, then at least you might be learning something.
We should probably do this later.
Yeah, sure. We'll brainstorm
okay,
later.
Okay, I haven't noticed.
So, so there was sort of like a drought in the 90s, and that's when I got into Star Wars. And they did Micro Machines action sets.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was a very lonely child, and so Star Wars got me through it. And And then when the prequels came out, I kind of like, I really enjoyed The Phantom Menace when I saw it at the cinema, and then on subsequent viewings I realised that it was just a hollow shell of a film, and it was actually really boring. The pod race sequence is so boring, and if you cut it out, then it wouldn't really affect the film. You know, there's lots really, and the fact that Anakin Skywalker, I mean, I don't really want to get into it. It's just, it's been done to death. But
it's,
I mean,
an hour
I just,
in itself.
It's really, yeah. And then I really enjoyed Attack of the Clones, and then obviously that's actually one of the worst films in the entire franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
And then by the time it got to Revenge of the Sith, I remember kind of like going into it thinking, oh, I've got all these theories about how it might tie in. And me and my friend chatted about all of the other films before we went to see the third prequel. And then by the end of the film, it meant nothing to me. And I left the cinema just actually feeling all right. I felt like George Lucas had given me my life back. Didn't have to spend another penny on Star Wars ever again. I was just like, oh, do you know what? It's kind of like, it's like counselling. I've gone through it all, and now I'm normalised, and I can just get on with my life. And then what happened with The Force Awakens was they just undid all that, and it made me love Star Wars again, like furiously, in a weird way. And then I really like Rogue One, and then The Last Jedi sort of just absolutely killed it for me. So I was surprised with how much I liked Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Yeah, I had a thing where I know people were very excited about the Man of the Hour, Donald Glover bit in it as Lando Calrissian, and I was sort of like, yeah, sure, I like him, but I didn't necessarily think he'd be that great in it. But it feels really like that Star Trek film casting where actually he's sort of perfect, and he's doing a great sort of impersonation kind of. I always felt like Billy Dee Williams always feels like a super sort of good-looking guy, almost like a parody of someone who's good-looking. And I felt that Donald Glover doesn't really look like that, though. He looks more like a normal guy. Whereas when he does it, he sort of plays it as if he is this sort of super handsome kind of space hero, and that really works.
Yeah. I think that's right. I thought, but he's underused.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But what really comes out of it, there was a lot of criticism about, what's his name, Aldrin?
Oh, yeah.
Aldrin Ehrenreich. Aldrin Ehrenreich. And everyone was like saying, well, he doesn't look anything like Harrison Ford. He doesn't look a million miles away from Harrison Ford.
No.
I don't know, like, Harrison Ford was, what, 35 when he made Star Wars?
Yeah.
And so what's this guy, he's 25? So it's kind of like, there's a kind of, I don't really know how much you need a prequel to. If you're going to do a prequel to that character, you want to make him 15 or something that. Because there's not enough of an age
gap. And that's
gap.
It is sort of, you can't really tell how long before Star Wars it is, can you?
It's there's
sort
like
of
a bit hints, of a guess. Yeah. There's hints that it's not actually that far away.
Yeah, it might be like a year off or something.
And so I think that's a bit weird. But then again, so everyone was like up in arms, like because they've hired Aldrin Ehrenreich, who doesn't really look like him. But then Ewan McGregor doesn't look anything like Alec Guinness.
No.
And people quite liked him in that. And the other thing is, if you're upset about the fact that they've cast a young Harrison Ford and it doesn't look anything like Harrison Ford, then you've got River Phoenix and Sean Patrick Flannery
from
the Indiana Jones who looks absolutely nothing like Harrison Ford, has none of Harrison Ford's mannerisms, and all of that is canon.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, you can't be angry at one thing and then not the other. It's kind of like you just got to go with the. Also, Harrison Ford is Harrison Ford. You can't hire a person just because they look like Harrison Ford. You've got to hire a person based on their acting ability. I think he's brilliant in it. He's charismatic.
He's very much so. He's a movie star, isn't he? He's got a real movie star quality to him.
Yeah, and it's basically a two-hander between him and Chewbacca. And Chewbacca's the best he's been in any of the films.
Oh,
really.
I just
loved him.
Well, actually, I feel like he's been sort of sidelined, and I think in this he's like a real, that's what he's supposed to be like. He's supposed to have like this personality and his own jokes and subplots and things.
But it's perfectly acceptable if that is a version of Han Solo that you can tolerate. For I had a different idea of what he was like when he was younger, but there you go. Anyway, our guest is here now, so we're just going to play a song, and we are going to bring our guest in after that.
Yeah. Radio presents Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons.
There was an Iran deal. Trump has to make a decision, which he's going to announce today.
Oh, no.
Whether he's going to carry on or pull out.
And it's carry on or pull out?
What? Don't want those little chumps running around, do you? If Trump pulls out...
If only his dad had.
Stop laughing!
Oh, my God! It's 12, it's quarter past 12 in the afternoon!
Every Tuesday, Newsish with Sean Walsh and Mark Simmons. From 12 PM, FUBAR Radio.
Oh, what a rude trail.
That show sounds very good. That was Rock and Roll Radio by the Ramones, and you are joining
Nick Helm and Nathaniel Metcalf's Fan Club on FUBAR Radio.
We're getting it.
Safe saying it, doesn't it?
Safe, it does.
Safe saying it. And
we are. Is this a rock and roll radio?
No.
No,
it's about
really.
As far away from rock and roll as you can get.
No.
But we'll see.
How close is it to radio? Pretty close.
That's funny. I wouldn't be so sure about that, Matt. we're getting there. So we're joined in the studio right now. And it is a studio.
It is.
A lot of
the
times,
yeah.
It's just someone underneath their duvet at home.
But it's a proper studio.
It's a proper studio. We're in there. We're in here. We're joined in the studio now by our guest, Joel Dommett. So, Joel, tell us, what was it like being in the jungle?
Me, Joel Dommett.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sexy Joel Dommett.
Yeah.
He pulled out.
Oh,
like Donald Trump in that trail.
Jail, yeah, road trail. Yeah.
So, Jack, how you doing?
I'm very good. Are you going to say my name?
We're joined in the studio by good old Jack. That's where we go. Jack Barry. It's Jack Barry.
My name's Jack Barry. Thank you for having me.
Say your name into the microphone.
Jack Barry, not Joel Dommett. Dommett pulled out, and I'm sweating from running here.
Well, you say that. I was going to say you look fresh.
Oh,
this
thank
morning.
You very
you
much.
Look very fresh.
Well, that you've just been to the gym, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a glisten.
Maybe and that's you, it. A glow.
And you had a shower.
I had a shower.
And then you came over here. You had a bit of trouble parking.
And did all the good work of the shower.
We played the Ramones and sat you in here and look at us. We've let you in behind the wizard's curtain.
Yeah. Mm. I'm drinking water. It's very rock and roll.
You had a gig last night, didn't you, Jet?
Yeah, I did.
Where was it? In
Maidenhead.
Maidenhead.
I had an Edinburgh preview.
Oh, yeah.
In Maidenhead.
How
was
it?
Horrible.
Why was it horrible? Was it a bad gig?
No, it was fine. I go and preview at the same place every year, and the average audience are always very nice, but they're always older than my parents.
Right.
Okay.
And they're very friendly people, but they're not buying what I'm selling.
Yeah.
Right.
Is usually the problem.
That's what I think of Maidenhead, though. I think of it as being that sort of audience.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So I just sort of bowled. Last year my show was all about legalizing drugs, and this year my show is all about fucking. And so I just bowled
really?
Out and I was just like, yeah, come on then, guys. You know when you're there. And then they were all very upset.
What's the name of your show?
It's just called Tango this year.
Tango, why? Because
just because
is that
like
what you
words.
Say after you've fucked? Yeah. You say you've been tangoed.
Yeah. Then I slap them like that, on the ears. No, just because it takes two to tango.
Okay.
I don't know.
So it's a bit it of works fun. On
it's many levels. My girlfriend's Argentinian. They like tango. The dance, not the drink. But maybe both.
But you like the drink as well.
I like
you?
The drink.
Do you like Fanta?
Yeah, fine.
Orangina?
Yes, absolutely. Orangina's the best.
Sunkissed?
No.
You can get 2 litres of Sunkissed for a quid.
Can
still
you?
Don't like it?
I don't think I've ever had Sunkissed.
It's absolutely gorgeous. It's my favourite out of the lot.
Really?
Yeah, I wrote a routine about Russian roulette where I'd have to play... I'd get a member of the audience and I'd play Russian roulette with 5 cans of warm Fanta and 1 can of Tango. Or maybe it's the other way around. Warm Tango is the absolute worst. And I'd get a member of the audience and a lazy Susan and we'd blindfold each other and we'd basically play Russian roulette to the Deer Hunter
music. Yeah.
And we'd take it in turns, but I had to rewrite it because I couldn't find enough cans of Sunkissed. So originally it was Sunkissed and Tango, and then...
And what would happen when they drank the warm Tango? Would they explode?
That would be like the bullet.
Yeah.
And
they'd know, would
it was,
they?
It was a pretty anticlimactic routine. But it was a 25-minute routine, so very much so. It was about the journey rather than the destination. Anyway, Jack, we've brought you in here. What time, what's your Tango? You on at the Players?
No, not this year. I'm doing a free one in the back of the Globe Pub in Edinburgh.
Globe Pub, that's a nice pub.
Yeah, so it's a free fringe. Just turn up.
You did the Free Fringe. You've done the Free Fringe the last 3 years, haven't you?
I've done it. I've done, like, I usually do 2 shows in Edinburgh, so I'd usually do one at the Pleasance and one at the Free, and then last couple of years I've just done a Free one.
Yeah, it's good, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's a lot pretty high status. But it's free, so the audience they're happy. They just sit there and they're like, yeah, okay, fine. I don't like it when people come in and they're like, well, I've paid £15.
Well, that's my big
problem. This is better be good.
That's my big problem. When people pay to come and see me, they're always really disappointed. And I always make sure my ticket prices are rock bottom.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe in, like, overcharging for stuff.
No, me neither.
So my tickets are like £7.50 and people still feel ripped off. I'm just like, Jesus Christ, how shit am I? So we're here. Welcome to the fan club.
Thank you.
And we're here now to talk to you about what you are a fan of. It's like, it's just a way of, it's a springboard into just talking about pop culture.
Talking about fun stuff. Great. Yeah.
Let's start off with what your favourite TV show is. What's your favourite TV show, Jack?
I don't know. I watch lots of TV, but I think my fondest memories of watching TV are from watching a programme called I Love New York.
I don't know what this is.
You guys ever watched that?
No.
I've never. Oh, well, I should probably tell you that we have no prep.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah, well, neither do I, so that's fine. I've sort of had to become fans of... Like, I always used to just be a fan of comedy. That was always my thing. And then I became a comedian, and now I hate comedy, so you sort of have to find new
things. Do you never watch
things. It? Right? I don't watch comedy anymore. I watch I watch food shows. That's what I watch.
Do you?
Like cookery shows. Rick Stein I really like, and Jack Stein is his son, and I really love Jack Stein.
Well, is he like sort of... Is he like the bad boy? Like he's the sort of bête noir of the family?
I like Rick Stein because Rick Stein is sort of like quite an awkward TV host, and he always reminds me of what my dad would be like if he hosted a TV show. But like in that awkward way, and not in an ironic way. I really love him, but not my dad, Rick Stein.
Okay,
I barely know my dad, that's not true.
But Jack Stein, does he have like Jack a skate chain and like tattoos?
No,
he's like fuck off, Dad.
He's like got all of like the. He's as good as his dad, but also he's a little bit more TV savvy, and he's quite self-deprecating and funny, and that's what I like about it.
Oh,
great. So I guess because I don't watch comedy anymore, I look for comedy in other places.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be the musings of Jack Stein while he's preparing a crab.
For instance.
I'm sort of cutting in a bit, but have you seen the one where it's Ainsley Harriott with the guy from Strictly Come Dancing, the old guy.
Who's literally Len
Goodman.
Len Wiseman, who directed the Underworld series. Len Goodman.
He does a thing where Ainsley Harriott introduces him to food that he's never had before.
But it'll be something like chips.
Yeah, it'll be like, he won't have anything that's not, everything is foreign. So it'll be like, today, Len, you're going to have to eat a spaghetti bolognese. And he's like, oh no, I've never seen that before.
Right,
then would you like a pizza? He's like, what is this? It's like cheese on toast. He's like that. He's like, it sort of feels like, it feels like a very post-Brexit TV show.
Yeah. Just introducing people to the continent at last.
Overwhelmed by ferry.
He's only ever eaten sort of a roast dinner.
Yes, every night.
Every night, roast dinner with a side of cheese on toast.
Egg and chips.
Yeah.
Bacon and sandwich.
Bacon and sandwich.
I have a dinner of bacon and bread.
I'm a traditional man with traditional values.
So what is I Love New York?
I Love New York was like, when I was a kid, we weren't allowed to watch reality TV because my parents thought it was trash.
When were you a kid? When is this?
I must have been like 14, I feel like.
And what year were you born, Jack?
I was born in 1988.
So we're talking 92.
Yeah.
I love
92?
No, 2002. 14.
Sorry.
2002.
This is because I think I'm younger than I am.
We're talking the early 2000s. And it was basically like, I think it was probably around, I mean, I'm probably going to be really embarrassed, and it actually was like when I was 18. But it was like, it was this reality TV show that me and my sister used to watch when we were on holiday. There was like one, we went on holiday to Spain, and there was one English TV channel which would play like I Love New York. And it was basically like, do you remember those, you know those like The Bachelor, like sort of dating shows? I love those kind of shows, and I Love New York was basically like Flavor Flav from Public Enemy.
Oh,
I remember.
He had his own one called Flavor of Love.
Yes, yeah.
And the girls on it were so dreadful.
Yeah, because that's the one I've seen the cliff of. Oh, she was on one of the...
Yeah, so New York, she was called New York, and
was
she came second.
Tiffany New York Pollard?
Tiffany, yeah, and she yes. was
Pollard?
In... Yeah, and she was
Sister
in...
Sister of Sue.
Sister of Sue, exactly, yeah. And then she was famously on Big Brother and thought that David Guest had died.
Oh,
when David
Bowie
died.
Was that who
died.
That was? That yeah, was incredible.
That was her. So she had her own TV show, which was like all these men trying to like find love with New York.
And with New York, the person.
With her, the person. So
not
it was
the city.
I Love New York. And they all, but basically they were all there to promote their own rap careers.
Oh, so her name was actually New York.
Her name, her like, yeah, they all had kind of like hip hop names. So she was New York. And
hang on.
Yeah.
Just clarify. This is your favourite TV show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
It was 2007, by the way.
2007, so, okay, yeah, I thought I was probably older than that.
So what's that? Then that would make you 19.
I
remember, yeah. I never saw Flavour of Love, but I was aware that there was an episode where someone shat on the floor.
Of Flavour of Love? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Was that New York?
Yeah, yeah, it could have been. The girls, there was a spin-off show called Flavour of Love's Charm School, where all the girls had to go to etiquette school because they were all so terrible. And when one of them got voted off, one of them spat across the room into another one's mouth.
Deliberately?
Yeah, deliberately.
That's quite skillful.
It was amazing.
Sometimes I spit by accident when I'm talking.
Yeah.
Oh no! Yeah, no. She gobbed, and it flew, and then they
was
played
she
in
aiming
slow
for
motion.
The mouth?
That's not
if
great.
She was, then she deserves a medal.
Wow, she should be in the Olympics.
That's an unfortunate.
But I Love New York. Me and my sister still quote it to each other every time we see each other.
What are the quotes out of context?
It was
you
just things like, "Damn these banana trees." That was one. Like in the final, because it got down to the final for the final two guys, and one of them was called Tango. Oh. I didn't
call
even
back.
Think about that.
Hey, man.
That's the end of your show.
Yes, that's the end of my show. And one of them was called Chance, and they hated each other. And the producers would ply them with alcohol so that you could tell they were all rat ass the whole time.
It's a shame Chance didn't get his own spin off, because that would have you could have done lots of.
There's
leave
so
it
many,
to Chance.
Yeah, great puns.
Chance in a Million.
Yeah, and Tango as well, to be fair.
Yeah. Tango and Cash, where he owed some money.
Oh, that was the best thing, because then in the final, Tango won. And then when he won, he proposed to her in the finale, and he said yes.
He proposed to New York.
He proposed to New York. She said yes. And then they had like a reunion thing where they all had to come back.
When did they? What after the? That was the end of that series.
That was the end of the series. And a couple of weeks later, they had like a comeback thing. And one of the final dates that they had to do was New York had to meet the guy's mums. And when she met Tango's mum, she was like. In the interviews to camera, she was like, "God, what a stupid old bitch! Oh, I hate Tango's mum." Oh, like, and then when they played all of this footage in the reunion show, and he broke off the engagement live on TV because he was like, "You can't talk shit about my mum." Oh, it's great TV. But come on, you don't get out of the kind of shit with Jack Stein and Rick Stein, do you?
No.
Is there a bit where Rick Stein spits into his son's mouth?
Yeah, it could be.
No, I've never seen that. No.
I'd like to see Ainsley Harriott spitting into Les Gulden.
Me too. He'd think it was foreign.
Yeah, you go, I don't know. It's a bit like a Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah.
But not Bottom.
Not Bottom.
Or Around the Twist or Thundercats. I Love New York.
You want
or
better
Tinker
shows?
Taylor, Soldier Spy, or?
No, I don't want better shows. I just think it's such a... well, I guess that's the point of this show, isn't it? We're not judging.
My favourite show...
I am judging a bit.
My favourite show at the moment is High Maintenance. Have you watched that?
No.
I don't watch telly, really.
That's really great. It's like a series about a weed dealer who lives in New York.
Oh, yeah, and it's all about him going around and all of...
Yeah, and like each episode's like about the different people that he sells weed to.
Yeah.
It's really great. I think that's probably
that
my favourite
like show.
That
sounds like a show that was absolutely... Absolutely 100% made for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's really my kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got a number for someone that you can see. Phone after the show. So what is... So let's ask you what your favourite musician is. I mean, I think there's a slicker way of doing this, but we'll sand off the edges as the weeks go by.
Yeah.
Very much...
I'm good to be a guinea pig in this whole...
Or a hamster. Thing. Whatever you prefer.
What's your favourite? What's your favourite rodent?
Gerbil. Yeah. No,
okay.
I don't know. Don't really have any strong opinions on rodents, I'll be honest. Musicians, though.
You're back. You're pulling this together.
Yeah, absolutely great.
Someone's going to keep this ship afloat. Favourite musician? I really like Kendrick Lamar at the moment. He's probably my favourite.
Oh, this was a mistake, wasn't it?
Favourite musician?
Yeah, this was a
mistake. Well, I mean, we don't say it from
the chat. I don't know anything about anything outside of...
I went to see the Rolling Stones on Tuesday.
How was that?
I know some people.
It was amazing. I loved it.
I don't know if I'd want to see them if it wasn't the 60s.
Oh, but they played... it was nothing but hits.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to see them...
Well, you think so by now.
I saw them 12 years ago. My parents took me for my 18th birthday.
Fan?
Yeah, I was always a big fan. And so they took me as a treat because they were like, this is the last opportunity you'll get.
Yeah.
And then 12 years later... But actually, it was better this time. Because last time they were still
12 years ago, they were so sure that they would all die.
That was it. Yeah, we were like, this is we've got to see them.
Chance.
Yeah,
25 years ago, we were all there at the Rolling Stones thinking, this is our last chance.
Yeah, we've got to get in now because you won't be able to.
40 years ago, we were all there.
My mum was saying that she first saw them like 40 years ago or something mental.
Have you ever seen
that's
Keith
only 78.
Have you ever seen Keith Richards' fingers?
Again.
Keith Richards' fingers are fucking insane.
They are.
Absolutely.
No.
They look like they've been designed by Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
They look like melted candles.
Yes, exactly.
They look like candles from Italian restaurants that have just had candles
just
put into candles, put into candles, put into candles.
They sort of look like he's wearing one of those cricket gloves.
Yeah.
But like one that's made of like, but one that's been designed by David Cronenberg.
Oh,
it's like
amazing.
A sort of weird skin.
He sort of hammered the bones of his fingers deep into, impacted them into the other bones of his fingers, and then there's just these huge kind of like calluses over his fingernail. It's just like it's just Jack.
When you have a moment, and
the viewers at home, do yourself a favour and Google Keith Richards' hands.
Yeah, Keith Richards' fingers.
I like how you both knew straight away.
Oh, yeah.
Is it quite a known
He looks like
thing?
A werewolf mid transformation. It looks like he's looked at his hands and they're like he's sort of turning.
Yeah, it sounds like something from The Evil Dead, just like that kind of sort of plasticine
extended,
special effects.
Extended fingers.
But, you know, having said all that, he still managed to write a book. So. Show me your autobiography.
Okay, there we go. Got a picture on screen.
Oh,
that
my God.
There we go.
I mean...
He does look like one of those mummies that they found in South America.
They're worse in colour. They are worse in colour, but that is kind of... Yeah, yeah. They're like gloves. They're like rubber gloves that have been filled...
With ball bearings.
With spam. Spam and ball bearings. Yeah, very, very good. But that's more of a visual thing, so...
It's more of a visual, but...
We're painting
quite the picture.
Kendrick Lamar? What is it about Kendrick Lamar that you like?
He's very cool. I like the music. I think he's a great lyricist.
What sort
great
of songs
beats.
Does he... What sort of stuff does he write about? Does he write about love and...
Yeah, he writes about...
Hands.
Well, I mean, he obviously doesn't write about stuff that I've experienced in my life, but I still think it's important stuff. You know, he writes about the state of racism in the States, and I think he's brilliant. He just won a Pulitzer Prize.
Oh, yeah.
He's the first non-classical musician or jazz musician to win a Pulitzer Prize.
Did he do the Black Panther soundtrack?
He did do the Black Panther soundtrack,
and there were
some
lovely bits of instrumental bits that I thought, oh, I like this little bit.
But he opens his mouth, and you're like, no.
Yeah, I think that is a bit. Like, I think I'm less interested.
I like
his production, what he puts together. I like his beats and things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, his second album, To Pimp a Butterfly, was really groundbreaking. It was like really like jazzy and off the wall and weird, and like had all these like great like jazz hooks on it, and then him sort of just doing poetry over the top of it. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar. I guess part of this is it's like a learning thing. I have heard of him. But but if your only frame of reference is Black Panther...
Oh, sure. I'm not.
It's kind of like... That's just depressing as well, isn't it?
Sure.
Have you never listened to any of his songs?
I barely listen to anything. I mean, I've done two of my own albums. I listen to them quite a lot.
Oh, of course.
And, I mean, I wouldn't be making music if I didn't think it was the very best.
And
I mainly listen to Nick's albums as well.
And also when I went to see Black Panther, if that would be the only thing, then when I went to the speakers were really weird, and we could only hear the characters that were speaking on our side of the screen.
Yeah. Really?
It was the small screen at the Empire in Leicester Square.
Okay.
So if there was someone on the other side of the screen, yeah, you couldn't hear what they were saying.
It was like it was a really wide screen, and it was kind of like, it was like we were sat right at one end, and so the screen at our end was really big, and then it disappeared really small over there, and we could only hear what was. So if someone was punching, their fist would disappear into nothing, and you'd hear like a. For like a punch. Oh, that's really good. Do you know what? I'm instantly seeing a flaw in this format where if we don't know enough about... No, just keep talking about Kendrick Lamar, please.
Who's your favourite band?
I mean, it's Alice Cooper, but I don't need to talk any more about that. I'm sure I'll fit in enough Alice Cooper over the coming... oh, no, we've been cancelled mid... So I've got another 22 minutes to talk about Alice Cooper. Yeah.
Well, shall we move on?
Well, now it's film, and I think we'd still feel a lot more comfortable. Play a song. We're going to play a song.
Why don't you play some Alice Cooper?
Play some Kendrick Lamar.
I could play some Kendrick Lamar. Can we get some Kendrick Lamar up? Okay, brilliant. So we're going to play a little bit of Kendrick Lamar right now.
Oh, how...
I'm a clone, I know it and I'm fine. I'm living for him anyway. I'm to doctor, he's on the line. We'll take incubation another day. I'm all alone, so are we all. We're all clones, all of one and one are all. Destroy the government, we're destroying time. No more problems on the way. I'm true doctor, we don't need your kind. The other ones, ugly ones, stupid boys, wrong ones. I'm all alone, so are we all. We're all clones, all of one and one are all. All of one and one are all. Is having problems, adjusting to his clone status.
Have to put him on the shelf.
Destroy the government, destroy time, no more problems on the way. I'm true doctor, we don't need your kind. The other ones, ugly ones, stupid boys, wrong ones. I'm all alone, so are we all. We're all clones, all of one and one are all. All of one and one are all. So are we all. We're all clones. All are one and one are all. All are one and one are all.
Nick and Nat's Fan Club on Foobar Radio.
Is that Joey Page doing that? Yeah, it's Joey Page doing the links there.
In case anyone's wondering.
That voice sounds familiar. It's Joey. Welcome back to Nick and Nat's Fan Club. That's what we'll shorten it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, better. And we're just finding out that I don't have any popular culture references post 1993.
Yeah, I'm sort of worried that a lot of the music, because I sort of feel like I know what I like now. And I'm just going off my own.
That's what happens.
I think that my music tastes were a little bit like finding a remote control, where you go, oh, I'm looking for the remote control, looking for the remote control. I found the remote control. I'm not going to keep looking for the remote control. I'm just stuck. I'm stuck at 1993 when I found
But this
Alice
is
Cooper.
Good. It's opening our minds and ideas.
I mean, I'd like to think so, but I can't. Imagine you're going to go away and listen to Kendrick Lamar.
Well,
why would you put your, I mean, you've put those limitations on us.
Yeah,
you know.
I think if you wanted to listen to Kendrick Lamar, you could have done by now.
I spend a lot of time.
One of the biggest hip hop artists in the world.
I spend a lot of time worrying in bed.
Do you?
I spend all day, every day, worrying in bed. When am I meant to put on Spotify for like a? Mind you, maybe if I did that, I'd get out of bed a bit more.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the medical solution to depression.
Music.
So don't get dark, keep it light. One final thing for you to talk about. Final thing, I say. It's almost like you've only just got here.
I know. You're shipping me out already.
No, but do you know what? I think you've got one of the nicest voices heard on stage.
Oh, you're very kind.
I remember seeing your show a few years ago, 3 years ago, and I think you've got a very calming voice. Maybe a voice, not a face, but a voice for radio.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I'm being nice.
Good.
I'm being nice.
Yeah, I'm not
judging you and limiting you with my own small-mindedness, Jack. There's a lesson for you. So can you tell us a little bit about what your favourite film might be?
I love Crank.
Oh yeah!
Oh, Crank!
Crank.
Yeah, we're back on board. Yeah, we're back in the room.
Crank one or Crank two?
I mean, they're both great, but yeah, Crank one is the original and best, obviously. Right. Yeah.
So, Crank was a film that was made in 2006, 2007.
Yeah, maybe around then.
Can you find the details for me, please, Natalie? 2006. Yes. Okay, right. Yeah. Yes. 2006. Jason Statham film.
Jason Statham playing the hitman Chev Chelios.
Yeah.
Mm. Gets injected with a poison where if his adrenaline drops, then he'll die.
Yes. Yeah.
So he has to keep
it's Speed. If Speed was a person.
Yeah. Exactly. If the bomb was somehow in you. Yeah. and it had Jeff Chelios in it. Oh, it's great.
Everything about that is great. The fact he's called Chev Chelios, as if like the right. It feels like it was written in real time. He's called Chev Chelios.
Yeah.
And he's just like typing the thing.
They all just turned up on the first day with the cameras. Yeah. And they're like, let's go.
No one is called Chev Chelios. I also wonder if it's what someone imagines people in England are called. Like an American screenwriter's gone, yeah, he's like a Cockney guy. What they call like Chev Chelios.
is he Cockney in it?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, because sometimes they get him in to do like, his American accent, don't they?
But he is supposed to be English.
Oh, he lives in the bayou.
Yeah.
What's that Sylvester Stallone film that he wrote? And Stallone wrote a film, like Homefront or something like that.
Oh, I don't know that.
It was set in the bayou and had like...
And Jason Statham, isn't it?
Jason Statham, yeah.
No.
So, like, Jason Statham did this old Stallone script. And he's just like, hi, I'm an American man.
It's like Ray Winston in The Departed.
Yes,
he's like, listen to me, mate. Don't you fucking punch him.
I love it. I love Jason Statham.
I do like him.
Absolutely.
I really like it. I think, and Crank is like the perfect film that plays to all his strengths.
Yeah.
It's just,
and he plays it, he acts like he's not in on the... He's totally in on the joke, but he plays it totally straight.
Yeah,
as if this is exactly how this is meant to be. And it is.
Yeah, right. And he's a great comedic actor.
Oh, yeah. You know. He's got a lot of good chops.
Lockstock was basically a comedy, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's like a Minder, isn't it? Minder.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and Snatch. Yeah.
I mean, I said, right, yeah. Do you mean...
It's like an episode of Minder.
Like an episode of Minder. Not like he was like... He played it like he was a Minder. Right, I see. Okay. So Crank, yeah.
It's just a mad film.
It's got an amazing ending.
No,
spoiler alert, but I mean, if you haven't seen Crank, you've had 12 years to see it.
Where have you been?
It's the bit when the ending is...
He falls out of a helicopter.
Doesn't he throw the bad guy out of a helicopter or something?
They both jump out of the helicopter, and then he breaks his neck on the way down. Ricky Verona. And he goes, fuck you, Ricky! And he snaps his neck, and then he rings his girlfriend to say, sorry, I'm dead, because I've fallen out of a helicopter.
And then the last shot is he lands on the tarmac and bounces.
Yeah. Lands off a car.
And then his dead body just like lands right in front of the camera and you just see his eye twitch or something and he's dead.
And you hear his heart pump.
And you just think, oh, well, no sequel then. And yeah. then they only go and bloody make Crank 2.
Oh, it's so good. And then the best thing is that then in the second series, in Crank 2, he's like, he meets his girlfriend. And she's like, where have you been? He's like, didn't you get my phone message? And then it just plays the message and it's just wind because he's falling out of a helicopter.
It's such a good film.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah. And Jerry Halliwell plays his mum in Crank 2. Like, he has like a flashback to him being on like the Jeremy Kyle show when he's a kid, and Jerry Halliwell's like, he's out of fucking control.
And then, what's
such a great film.
They give him like a plastic heart in the second one, don't they?
Yeah, they give him and it needs a battery.
So the first one is that he needs adrenaline, and the second one he needs electricity.
Electric shocks.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, what a great concept.
It's just got so many good lines in it as well. It's like there's a bit where he's having an argument with a Chinese prostitute,
right.
and she's yelling at him, and he goes, "Do I look like I speak Cantonese?" And it's just like that.
Classic Statham.
Classic stuff.
If you don't like stuff like that, probably don't go and check out his other films. Yeah. absolutely. Because The Meg is coming out, isn't it?
Yes.
Which is the film about the giant shark.
The Megalodon.
And it's got the best line of any film I think ever made, where a giant shark, starring Jason Statham, which is why I'm talking about it. Yeah. But Jason Statham's swimming around in his little submarine. And he's got this, you know, like a one man submarine, and a 50 foot Megalodon swims over him, and he just goes, "It's a Megalodon." Absolutely outstanding work there, Stath. Love him.
That's what you would say.
Presumably in that film he's like a paleontologist or something, then he's like an animal expert.
He is like an animal expert.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that. When you have like a sort of Hollywood bad boy.
Like a big scientist.
If you read the book though, I mean it feels like miscasting. And then
there's a book.
The book, it's based on, you wouldn't just make that up for a film, mate.
Megalodon.
It's called The Meg. The book is kind of like one of those airport books where you just buy it before you get on plane.
Yeah.
And it's all sort of like Lee Child meets Michael Crichton, where it's all sort of like macho and bullshit. And the beginning of the film starts. He's a diver. He's an Olympic standard.
Oh, hang on! Looks like we've got a new name for him.
Oh, Jonas, right,
in The Meg. Well, he's an Olympic standard diver in real life.
Yes, he's a diver
called Jonas Taylor in the book. But in the Meg, the opening of the book starts off in prehistoric times because it's a prehistoric fish.
Yeah.
And it's the Tyrannosaurus Rex is on a beach, and then the shark jumps out of the water onto the beach, eats the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And it's meant to be like, you think Jurassic Park's scary? Wait till you get a load of The Meg. And you go, I don't really find like a 50-foot shark scary. I find like a 20-foot shark scary because it'll bite your leg off, right? And it'll bite you in half and it'll drag you under and all of that stuff. But a 50-foot shark where it just swallows your whole is kind of like, oh, probably just, if you had a knife on you, you could cut it.
Because you're just living inside the shark.
You'd be like Pinocchio.
Yeah.
I don't find Pinocchio scary.
I do.
It is a bit scary, actually.
It's terrifying, Pinocchio.
Yeah. Especially on Pleasure Island.
Yeah, when they turn into donkeys. Terrifying. Yeah,
absolutely.
Have you ever seen Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah,
or the series?
The movie.
Which I saw it recently.
I want to see it, but
the Jeremy Irons movie.
No, with Jason Statham.
That's a Dungeon Siege.
Dungeon Siege, is that
that's
what I'm thinking?
Dungeon Siege, that's what you think about. That's Uwe Boll movie.
Uwe Boll, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's got Burt Reynolds in it as a medieval
Ray
knight.
Ray Liotta, is he?
Ray Liotta's in it. Yeah. I mean, Ray Liotta looks like Judith Chalmers in it. It's famously one of the worst films ever made. But what
I love is the story about Uwe Boll, because apparently he was like, he's this German millionaire who used to be a professional boxer and then made these millions and just decided to start making films about computer games.
Well, basically, the rights for computer games were really easy to get. So he did like...
He did a couple of others.
He did Postal. He did Alone in the Dark, which is absolutely, if you like bad films, then Alone in the Dark is one of the worst films
so
ever
just
made.
So he wasn't a director or anything?
No, he wasn't a director, he was just a millionaire. But a former boxer. And apparently when loads of his films came out, they obviously got panned by critics. And he invited loads of critics to put up or shut up. and he invited them to like a boxing match, and he was like, come and I'll fight you.
That's not how it works. So, it's not like, come and fight me, I'm a professional boxer.
But they, they all thought he was joking, so loads of people turned up and he just beat the shit out of them.
It was like a boxing day where all his critics came along and he just beat the
and
shit out
of them. And he just absolutely took them to pieces. His they were all like, oh, it's a joke.
His films are awful and they're actually not worth watching.
I know, but, I mean, but yeah, but if you can back it up with your fists, then make what you want.
They're like a tax dodge, you know, and everyone's gone, oh yeah, well, I'll get, take a paycheck. The sequel to Dungeon Siege has got Dolph Lundgren in it. And it's really sad. They must have filmed it in Romania or something, where it was like cheap to film. And it just looks like there was no heating on set. Dolph Lundgren's basically, he spends the whole time sort of like hugging his arms. You know, across himself because he's cold. There's scenes where he's talking and you can see the breath coming out of his and he's always got this woolly jumper on for the entire and you just like, I feel so bad for, you know, oh, you're doing a sequel to a Statham movie. Which Statham movie? Crank? The Meg? Blitz? You know?
You wish.
Yeah. The Mechanic? No.
Italian Job?
Any of them. No, he did a sequel to Dungeon Siege. It's really awful. But the sequel is worse. And I'm not sure if... Anyway,
we're
not
told
sure if Uwe Boll
that in 2015...
Do you know what?
Boll opened a German restaurant in Vancouver, British Columbia, called Bauhaus.
Good name. Good name for a restaurant.
Bauhaus. There you go. Do you know what? I think Crank is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, good, good. It makes me want to watch it.
I could talk about Jason Statham for an hour. I've got so much.
So
to say.
Could I.
I love him so much.
I just think the whole film is just so weird and amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I've never seen a film like it. It generally is like I've not seen this before.
It's like a bet, you know. It's like let's do it as a debt. It's like the opposite of the film Lock with Tom Hardy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With Tom Hardy, that's a film that's like a tense thriller.
Very well
set,
thought through.
That's set in a car about cement drying, and it's like they've gone, what's the most boring subject we can think of? It's like paint drying. Let's make a movie about that. And we'll make it really tense. And it's like they've set themselves a challenge to do it. And Crank is just like, how insane can... I mean, they must have been off their face on cocaine they made that.
The best thing about it is, like, whenever he goes from one part of LA to the other, they have, like, the aerial satellite shot. And it's just done on Google Earth. And it has Google Earth in the corner. They haven't even edited it out. It's just like... Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, I could talk about it forever, but that seems like a good point too.
Nick and Nat's Fan Club on Fubar Radio.
Okay, we've just about got time for coming to the end of our first episode,
Yeah.
Fuck it. And we've just about got time for the internationally renowned game Better or Worse by Nathaniel Metcalf. Basically, it's just Nat mentioning.
Okay, what it is, Better or Worse, is a game show. It's a bit like Play Your Cards Right, where I've got certain people on cards who, and we'll be able to tell you whether you have to say whether the next card will be better or worse than the card before it.
Oh, okay. We have to guess what's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, no,
okay.
We'll know what's coming up. I'll give you the two choices and you can make a choice.
Oh, I see. Okay,
so, are we ready now? Are we ready for music?
Yeah.
Okay, first card is Vinnie Jones. But it's Vinnie Jones, better or worse than Henry Winkler, the Fonz.
Oh. Very loud.
It's really loud in our ears.
I'd say.
No, I get it. It's all my opinion.
Oh, it's your opinion.
My opinion counts.
Vinnie Jones better. Henry Winkler's better.
Yeah, Henry Winkler's better. Yeah, yeah. But is Henry Winkler better than Robert De Niro? Better or worse than Robert De Niro?
Better.
Better than Robert De Niro?
I would say Henry Winkler's better than Robert De Niro now.
Yeah, I think he is now.
Henry Winkler's still as good as he ever was.
You think about the range of Winkler. Like, Winkler in Arrested Development.
Sure.
Versus the Fonz. Like,
Winkler in Click. Winkler will make you cry in Click.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Winkler, you're right.
Two
points.
Well, you've got De Niro, though.
De Niro, is De Niro better or worse than Gordon Ramsay?
But hang on a minute. Fonz just won.
Oh, yeah, but we're moving on to the...
Oh, is that... Well,
on to the next card.
Oh, right, so it's not like a knockout.
No. You know, you might have him winning all the time.
Yeah.
Rob De Niro, better or worse than Gordon Ramsay?
Am I the only one who's saying it?
Yeah, man, come on.
I thought you were chipping in.
No.
Okay.
It's the point.
Okay. I mean, I can help you. No, it's obviously Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro is much better than Gordon Ramsay.
De Niro is definitely better than Gordon Ramsay.
I do like Gordon Ramsay, though.
It's just instinct, mate.
Yeah.
But is Gordon Ramsay better or worse than Bruce Forsyth?
Ramsay's better.
Bruce Forsyth is better than Gordon Ramsay.
No way.
I'm going to say Forsyth is better than...
Gosh,
it's also about getting in the mindset of Nathaniel.
I would choose.
I should have thought about that.
Is Bruce Forsyth better or worse than Paul McCartney?
Yeah, Brucey's better.
Are you fucking mental?
I mean...
It's Paul McCartney. McCartney is better.
Paul McCartney's just he's a bit wet, isn't he?
Wow, come on. Is that the end?
No. Let's
carry on playing without the music. Can we?
We can for
a bit.
There we go.
I've got it going. Keep going.
Paul McCartney or John Lennon? John Lennon.
Better than McCartney?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. He did die.
Yeah. So did Brucey. Brucey lost out.
I'm going to say McCartney is better than Lennon.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not fond of Lennon.
Wow.
Lennon or Harrison.
George Harrison.
Another Beatles.
You've got Brucey now.
Yeah, but the cards are really for your benefit, Jack. The people at home can't see the cards.
They can't see the card. Okay, George Harrison or John Lennon?
Yeah.
John Lennon.
I'm going to say Harrison.
I would say Harrison.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, last one.
I'm going to get this one. I started off well.
This is a hard one, actually.
Is it? Okay.
George Harrison or Roger Moore?
I mean, Roger Moore, you've not even got them. I mean, he's George Harrison and John Lennon.
George Harrison,
we've
I mean...
got a webcam.
I think I know what you guys want me to say, but I disagree.
George Harrison, what's the last one? Roger Moore or
George
John
Harrison?
Oh, George Harrison.
George Harrison's obviously better than Roger Moore.
George Harrison is better than Roger Moore.
I think you might have to do that, yeah. I think we've got to hand it to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, they're both dead, so.
Yeah, so we can all
so
get on board with that.
So nobody pips each other to the post.
No,
right?
there's no tiebreak of death.
Oh, okay. Well, that was very stressful. That was a stressful hour. It was a stressful hour.
Couple of hours.
Yeah, a couple of hours of real stress. Thanks for coming in.
At least you got out of bed.
Got out of bed. Yeah, but barely. Thanks for coming in, Jack.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you for having me.
It means a lot to me.
Good.
For our flagship hour. Is that what you call the first one?
Yeah.
Maiden voyage.
That's flagship good. Would be the best ship of all of them. Yeah. So this is Fubar's flagship show.
Yeah, this is probably the...
this is our maiden voyage. Yeah. Wrap up the show and play a song at 12:58. Don't remember that Jason Statham fact. leaves nothing... We're just going to... What would you like us to play out then?
We've only got certain choices.
What would you like? So if you could name any song in the world, Jack, what song
would
it be?
Yeah, what would be your favourite song?
Money Trees by Kendrick Lamar.
Money Trees.
Never Ending Story cover by Mickey Dolenz.
From the Monkees. Did that do?
That'll do.
Oh, I like the Monkees. Yeah, why not?
Oh, okay. Brilliant.
Turn around. Look at what you see. Of your dreams, make believe I'm everywhere, living.